content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Amy Wentley for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum website and from a periodical called In Her Garden that comes out four times a year. This is the spring edition. I'm going to start out by event announcements from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. The first event coming up is a class that is starting on Monday, May 11th, and it lasts through June 8th. The class is offered in person and online. It's on Monday nights, again, May 11th through June 8th. It's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., in person and online. The name of the class is Building a Garden That Benefits Wildlife. And this is conducted by Bryce Lane, who is an undergraduate professor emeritus and lecturer emeritus from the Department of Horticultural Science at NC State University. He is an awesome instructor. In this course, you'll learn practical strategies for building a garden that attracts and sustains wildlife while fitting your space, goals, and gardening style. We'll explore how healthy gardens function as ecosystems and how even small home landscapes can provide food, shelter, water, and breeding habitat for a wide range of beneficial creatures. So you'll get practical guidance, expert-led instruction, flexible learning, and meaningful impact. So sign up today. The cost is $150 for JCRA members or $200 for non-members. The next event is the Evening Garden Stroll. That's going to be on Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. You can come by the gardens between 4:30 and 7:30 p.m. There will be a free public tour that starts at 6 p.m. And garden strolls are going to continue throughout the summer. We've got one on Tuesday, June 9th, Tuesday, June 14th, Tuesday, August 11th, Tuesday, September 8th. To me, this is looking like the second Tuesday in the month. So it's free. And in this tour, you're going to just take a break from your weekly grind, spend some time outdoor after work, and learn more about the JCRA gardens. And they'll be open till 7:30 that night. So this is second Tuesdays. That would be May 12th, 2026. And also at the Arboretum, the midweek program this week, or next week. It'll be on Wednesday, May 13th. It's from 3 to 4. It's online only. It's an Instagram Live performance. So you can view the online presentation at jcra.ncsu.edu/midweek. Videos are available after the event if you would like to watch those. And you can register online at jcra.ncsu.edu/midweek. And the cost is free. And so that is every Wednesday from 3 to 4. And this Wednesday, the 13th, is the PLT Premier Mexican Plants. So it's a pre-tour, actually. There's a plant lovers tour later, but this is a presentation midweek to take you through some of the Mexican plants at the Arboretum. On Saturday, May 16th, 2026, there is a hands-on workshop for container gardening. This is led by Bryce Lane. He's a wonderful teacher. It's $80 for JCRA members, $100 for non-members. Plants and the container are included in that tuition. So during the class, you'll find out how to, that this is just a good time of year to be planting in containers. Some people have certain areas of their yard that really lend themselves to containers. And so you can find out about how to make container gardening successful. And the last event I'll advertise from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum is another midweek program. It happens on Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. The midweek programs are 3 to 4 p.m. on Wednesdays. So you can actually follow up that midweek program with our broadcast. So the message this week is top 5 clumping bamboos. So sure, bamboos are beautiful, but who wants their entire backyard swallowed up and cast into darkness by a single plant that will literally break your shovel when you try to get it out? So our special guest, Tony Avent, will be speaking, and we'll also be joined by Evan Villani, who is a horticulturist at the Arboretum. And they will talk to you about all the diversity of bamboo and how you can have some and deal with it. So thank you for that. That's the news from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. And now we will turn to our book, In Her Garden, Inspiration for Making Things Grow. Our first article from In Her Garden is A Sweet Life, and it's by Hillary Jensen. And Hillary is the owner of Sugar Pie Flower Farmstead, a regenerative flower farm located in Mableton, Georgia, that her family has owned for 3 generations. Sugar Pie grows seasonal flowers, medicinal herbs, and farm fresh eggs. With a BSA in studio art and an MS in agricultural leadership, the farm is the perfect outlet for Hillary's creativity and being a good steward to the land. Her farm team includes her amazing husband, Josh, and their 2 boys, Finn and Felix. You can follow the farm on Instagram and Facebook at Sugar Pie Flower Farmstead. Okay, so let's get into A Sweet Life by Hillary Jensen. I have loved being in nature for as long as I can remember. I was the kid who always brought home some sort of animal to nurse back to health and was content being outside pretending for hours. I can attribute much of my love of nature to my upbringing. My parents were both the type to bring me along with any of their work in the garden or for walks outside, and I spent most of my young years with my maternal grandparents after school, learning about plants, beekeeping, or cooking on the property they nurtured for 50 years. Many of my earliest memories were in the garden at my parents' home, which was across the pasture from my childhood home. My grandparents were very self-sufficient and had a large garden with sweet potatoes, corn, and garlic. I have memories of helping hold the watering can or the hose, getting to pull up elephant garlic heads, and helping my grandmother with peeling and canning in the kitchen. She would make the most delicious squash pickles, fig preserves, and jellies, which, of course, were best served with her homemade biscuits. Even as a kid, I could feel the magic that came with growing your food and nurturing plants. I deeply believe that instilling that love of nurturing living things into a child will stay with them for the rest of their life, as it has with me. I always wanted the same experience for my children, and now love watching them learn responsibility and respect, and foster curiosity through being alongside me at the farm. My farm is located on my parents' land, which has been in my family since my grandparents moved here in 1948. Growing up on this property, I always envisioned having my own garden or farm on it someday. But for most of my adult life, I felt the need to wait until the right time to start, thinking I needed to be more financially stable, have more experience, or wait until I was in a different place in my career. The dream of starting my own farm sat neatly in the someday portion of my brain, excuse me, until a few years ago. I was a new mom of my now 4-year-old and juggling working full-time with part-time childcare. My job then was with a local agriculture and food security nonprofit. Check out OurGivingGarden.org to learn about the amazing work they do, which I was passionate about, but I still found myself daydreaming constantly of what I would do with my own farm, how my son would experience farm life, and all the ways I could nurture our family with food we grew. These daydreams coincide with some serious burnout from working at a community-based nonprofit through the pandemic. In 2023, I finally had an epiphany. I wanted to focus on creating beauty, joy, and levity in my life and my community. This was not a frivolous thing, as I deeply needed these elements in my life after going through new motherhood and a new job role during an unprecedented pandemic. So, in a matter of months, I ended my full-time position and took the exciting and scary jump to start out on my own. When I started the farm, some foundational elements were important to me. First, I wanted to focus on flowers and nurture the creative side of myself that had been on standby for the past several years. This meant I was going to give myself permission to focus on beauty, color, and whimsy over practicality, so long as it made sense for the vision of the business. Second, I wanted to integrate regenerative practices to improve the health of the soil and the property over time. I feel a deep sense of stewardship towards my family's land and believe wholeheartedly in the positive effects of regenerative farming practices and their ability to create a mutual relationship with the environment. Third, I wanted space that could be flexible and grow with me as the vision for the farm progressed, meaning that I would start with a small footprint and then grow organically over the years. We broke ground on the farm in the fall of 2023, and I haven't regretted one second since. My first summer season in 2024, I knew that I had made the right decision. The riot of colors coming out of my garden soothed my artist's heart and brought me so much joy. Working in the garden gave me a reason to be outside every single day and move my body, and creating floral designs provided an outlet for my creativity. My husband and boys have been my biggest helpers and supporters, along with my parents, and I could not do this without them. For anyone who dreams of having their own garden space but isn't sure how to get there, my advice is that the most important step is simply starting. Recently, I read a quote that stated, "Just make it exist first. You can make it better later." And there is some serious truth to that. There are so many wonderful resources available to learn more about gardening, and sometimes that can be intimidating. The best way to learn is by doing, so grab some cheap seeds or plant starts that excite you, and stick them in some dirt. If you only have a small space, try vertical gardening. If you have no yard, no problem. You can grow many veggies and flowers in containers. If you don't have any of those, you can still grow your own food by joining a local community garden. Community gardens are an incredible way to learn from more seasoned growers. And plant people make the best friends. And here are some of Hillary Jensen's garden secrets. These are the best flowers for beginners and lovers of color. Zinnias. They are incredibly easy keepers and come in a range of colors and sizes. You can cut and come again for weeks and weeks. Gladiolas, although not quite as productive and prolific as zinnias, they're also beginner-friendly and beautiful in a vase alone or with other flowers. Giant orange marigolds. Throw them in the ground and get bushloads of giant orange-yellow flowers that brighten any bouquet and can be dried and used for fall wreaths, garlands, or dye. Our next article is called The Work After the Dream, and it's by Daniela Ray. Daniela Ray is an herbalist, gardener, and founder of Growing Up Rooted. After nearly 20 years in California, Daniela moved to the Midwest with her family, a tradition she shares through her Finding Midwest series on YouTube. Her previous California garden was featured in summer 2024 issue of In Her Garden. Through her writing, teaching, and herbal work, she invites others into a slower, more grounded relationship with plants and land. Learn more at growinguprooted.com or follow along on Instagram at growinguprooted. The Work After the Dream by Daniela Ray. I'll turn 40 this year, and for the first time, I'm not reaching for the next version of my life. That surprises me. For most of my adulthood, I was becoming something. Learning how to be a mother, a wife, an entrepreneur, and learning how to hold all of it without losing myself in the process. I spent a decade detangling those identities, trying to weave them together into a life that felt honest and livable. And then it worked. In the spring of 2025, after nearly 20 years in California, my husband and I moved to the Midwest to be closer to his family. We landed on 4.5 acres in Wisconsin, a farmhouse built in 1850 with a barn big enough to hold the kind of storage my herbal tea business needs. Pallets of boxes, glass jars, and packaging that once lived stacked in corners and borrowed spaces finally had a place to land. Some days, while working in the barn, it hits me. This was the dream life. Land I can build on. Work that fits inside a life instead of consuming it. A marriage that still feels like a love affair. And two daughters who are genuinely a pleasure to be around. I notice it in small moments. Moments so ordinary they almost disappear if I'm not paying attention, but when I do, there's a sense that I don't actually need to get anywhere else. And yet I'm so used to striving, I don't know how to live differently. Coming from Southern California, where water is scarce and green always feels fragile, the abundance here still stops me. This past year was generous with rain, and everything stayed green. It feels like a luxury to me, and it reminds me of the place where I grew up in Colombia, where the savanna stretches wide, and life doesn't ask for permission to grow. Although life has taken me through many paths, coming back to green has felt like coming home. Near the house, there's a fenced garden, 4 large beds when we first arrived, were overrun with weeds, their edges softened by time. As far as I can tell, something has been growing in that spot for over a century, changing hands and shapes as families came and went. This time, I didn't arrive with a plan to redesign it all. Instead, I covered the beds with cardboard, we had plenty from the move, and added a fresh layer of compost. I let the weeds return to the soil that held them. It felt like a quiet marker of a new era, allowing the land to use what was already there as nourishment. Within that same season, I planted 20 fruit trees. That part I didn't hesitate on. It's a lesson I carried clearly from my last garden. Trees take time, and if you want fruit one day, you plant early. I already knew what I wanted. pest-resistant apples, pears, peaches, nectarines, cherries, trees that one day will give us buckets of fruit on good years. Beyond that, I'm moving more slowly. I'm paying attention to what's already here instead of trying to reshape everything at once. I'm focused on soil health, building compost, using waste to create nourishment, and tending an ecosystem that doesn't depend on pesticides or fertilizers to thrive. It feels like the most meaningful work I can do right now. Everything else grows out of that. As I slow down, I'm also noticing what's growing on its own. A few healthy patches of nettles, a plant I've worked with for years in my herbal tea blends, rich in minerals and deeply nourishing, a wise ally for refilling the well. Echinacea shows up too, a familiar companion here in the Midwest where the colder months linger. There's something grounding about realizing that the land itself is offering the same plants I've long relied on to support others. My work with herbal infusions feels like something I bring to this place, and more like something that has finally found its home. This isn't my first garden, but it's the first one where I feel confident enough to let the land lead. I've learned planting times, and I've missed them too. I know now that it's okay to sow seeds late or to buy seedlings instead. It's okay if you don't harvest every tomato. I trust there's a balance in nature that doesn't require constant managing, only support. I'm less interested in shaping a garden to look a certain way and more interested in allowing it to evolve in how it feels and functions over time. I still care about beauty. I just don't need it to prove anything. I want perennials that return without much fuss. Plants that belong here. Summers that include eating cucumbers straight off the vine, warm from the sun, dirt still on them. A garden that feeds us and leaves room for slow mornings and early dinners. One that fits inside a life that already feels full. Living in a house that has stood for nearly two centuries makes time impossible to ignore. Many families have lived here before us. We are only one chapter. As I circle 40, I feel more aware of time and more resistance to it, too. Instead of pretending that resistance isn't there, I'm focusing on tending what's been given to me with care, to steward rather than dominate, to accept that nature will undo many of my plans, and to let that undoing teach me. What I'm learning is that work doesn't stop once the life you imagine becomes real. It changes. This decade isn't asking me to create as much as it's asking me to continue, to show up, to repeat the small acts that sustain a life, feeding, pruning, weeding, walking the same paths again and again. I'm finding there is a creativity in that repetition, but it's quieter. Less about vision, more about presence. The garden doesn't ask me to become more, it asks me to stay, to tend, to notice what's already here. And for this season of my life, that feels like exactly the right work. And our author gives us some of her garden secrets. First off, plant what takes the longest first. Fruit trees are an investment in time, needing years to settle and produce. So I plant them early and let the rest of the garden unfold around them. If you want fruit one day, the best time to plant is always yesterday. Healthy soil is a real foundation. I put more energy into building soil than into any single plant. Composting, returning waste to the land, and supporting an ecosystem that can thrive without pesticides or fertilizers. Everything else grows out of that. Notice what grows on its own, especially medicinal plants. Many plants we call weeds are deeply nourishing and wise. Nettles, dandelion, and other medicinal herbs often thrive without help. And if they grow well in our environment, they may be offering support for our own resilience too. Choose perennials whenever you can. Plants that return year after year create continuity and ease. They reduce the need to replant constantly and allow the garden to feel like a living system rather than a seasonal project. Plant enough to share with wildlife. A garden doesn't need to be controlled to be productive. Leaving room for birds, insects, and animals has made my garden healthier, more balanced, and more alive. And now we'll end out our broadcast today with some information from 101 Garden Ideas about easy annuals that you can plant. For sheer flower power, annuals excel. Choose them from inexpensive, nearly instant color. The choice of annuals is so vast and versatile, you'll find a delightful variety to brighten any spot in your garden. First one is wax begonia. That's Begonia sempervirens. This bedding plant forms 12-inch mounds with nonstop blooms in a range of conditions from sun to shade. And then cosmos. These old-fashioned favorites are 18 to 48 inches tall. They provide daisy-like flowers for fresh arrangements. Sow the seeds in warm garden soil. And next is zinnia. Grow zinnia for their flowers in an array of bright colors and sizes. They attract butterflies and hummingbirds and make long-lasting bouquets. And impatience. The lush mounded plants in a range of heights and flower types brighten shade with continuous color. Choose new guinea types for sunny spots. And that ends our broadcast for today. We've run out of time. So, we hope you enjoyed listening today. Please join us next time. I'm Amy Wentley, and I am reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for those who are blind or print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.